Welcome back to the Film Experience. I'm your host, Nathaniel, and I'm here with my usuals, Nick Davis from Nick's Flick Picks and Joe Reed from The Atlantic.
Hey.
And today we have a special guest, Justin Chang from Variety.
Hello.
Justin, so you guys took forever today. You're part of the LA Film Critics Association.
We always take forever, and I actually thought we finished earlier than we normally do, believe it or not. Yeah, it's interesting. We instituted a new rule this year where we go to a written ballot for part of our voting process. So, which actually ended up speeding things up. So, I think we give a lot of awards. So, it definitely takes a while every time.
So, but with the written portion, is that the first round or
no? There are two rounds of voting usually. The first round is a live public read-aloud vote where everyone names their top three choices.
Each of the categories?
In each category. We go category by category. And then we go to a written ballot to decide between the top two vote-getters in the first round. So
the
first round
is sounds like my
call.
Dream event.
Doesn't it though?
How many people are in this room as you do this?
We had, some people had to leave, but at the beginning of the meeting, we had 47 people present. And then a few people who were not, like most of our other members were voting by proxy, who could not make it. So about 50 or so votes basically being cast in each category.
So if you then, for the written portion, what happens to the people who aren't there?
So the proxies fall out. So basically the proxies, come into play in the first round, but in the second one they drop out, and it just comes down to the people who are in the room. And we've had this in previous years. I think you do this long enough and you realize it really does come down to the people who are present, because we've had instances where one film or one performance led on the first ballot and then was kind of upset from behind on the second. So it's very important to be there. And fortunately we had record attendance today. 47 or so is a lot of people in one room, and I think we dropped to only like 42 or so even by the end of the meeting. So, it was very well attended, and I'm quite pleased with our results. Boyhood won Best Picture and Best Director, and quite a surprise. I know people are very taken aback. Patricia Arquette won Best Lead Actress, not supporting, and the film also won for Best Editing for Sandra Adair.
I don't want to get too hung up on category placement because I know people get really sick of me complaining about that. But I would have been fine with it except for the fact that there was an actress who was even leadier in her movie than demoted to supporting, which just made it seem very odd.
Agata Kulesha, you mean, in our Indita? Yeah, some people were noting that. It's very, I myself... personally, if asked to choose, I probably would argue too that Agata Kulesha is definitely a co-lead in her film. At the same time, it's one of my favorite picks of the day. I mean, the LA Film Critics, one of the reasons I'm proud to be a member of this group is that we certainly look well beyond the boundaries of the Oscar front runners. We take foreign language performances as seriously as we do English language ones, and it really levels the playing field. And I think because we see so many movies, there are a lot of choices that are kind of outside the mainstream that are worthy of recognition, and this is a great example of that.
And is the Agata Kulesha fan club super well organized to be like, we have to go, we cannot be proxies?
It's kind of funny, and I will say, it's something about the mood in the room, the energy in the room. I don't know if anyone going in this morning would have said, oh yeah, Agata Kulesha is a lock, who knows, some people were, there are definitely a lot, I mean, look, a performance like this doesn't win just based on, it may seem whimsical, but you don't win that award without having had a large fraction of the group having seen your film and agreed that it deserves to win. So I truly think these things are very unpredictable, and I'm just looking, It's funny too because there are factions for all over the place. I mean, there's a lot of performances that are not noted in the final results. something that may not, you know, register in the results, like Carrie Coon and Kim Dickens for Gone Girl got a lot of votes for supporting actress, you know.
Oh.
Emily Blunt in Edge of Tomorrow got a ton of votes for supporting actress.
Nice.
And it's just like, these are all the things that, and what I love and what I sometimes think is very limiting about this process, as it must be, is that we end up picking, you know, a winner and a runner-up, and there are so many other choices. The group is so diverse. Our tastes are cannot be reduced to anything. But this is all in the end, of course, about a search for consensus. But yeah, just to give you some sense, you know, there are a lot of different choices that are brought up in the course of the afternoon. So,
Well, that's actually what. Yeah, I mean that's why I love seeing people's individual ballots for their, you know, the critics who write very extensively about their favorites of a given year. Because you do get really more idiosyncratic choices. So in terms of that, what are your pets that had no traction in the room?
Oh, you wanted to saw my kind of under the radar sorts of choices?
Yeah.
Certainly. Since we're on supporting actress, I voted for Tilda Swinton and Snowpiercer, who had a lot of support. I think I was the only person who voted for Marion Bailey in Mr. Turner. Mr. Turner, by the way, was a very well loved film by the group that only in the end, I think, got runner up for cinematography, but it got lots of support in production design, Mike Lee for director, screenplay. So it had a lot of support, just not enough to push it into the finals. What else did I vote for? You know, one of, let me go through, you know, in other categories, I voted for Haluk Bilginer, who's the lead actor in the Turkish film, Winter Sleep, which was our runner-up for foreign language film. And it's amazing because the film hasn't even opened in L.A. this year. It's opening in January. So that was on the basis, though it's kind of the passion vote in action, you know, that was on the basis of just a few, maybe like, I would say 15 of our 50 or so members saw the movie, but we gave it, everyone gave it their maximum 3 points, and we pushed that into the runner-ups position. So it just goes to show there was a lot of love for that film. God, what else? Under the Skin was the horse I was backing pretty aggressively, and Under the Skin was very well liked by a lot of people. You know, Scarlett Johansson got votes for Best Actress. Mika Levy won for score, tied with Inherent Vice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's a perfect example of a real, you know, a film that is really challenging, respected, you know, in the end probably too dark and too, too brilliant, perhaps, to win awards, but as is often the case. But I'm really happy to see that it won, even just, you know, even for music. I mean, it's great, you know, that people saw it and love it, so... I voted for Jonathan Glazer for Best Director for Under the Skin. And so, you know, at the end of the day, though, you know, I'm really pleased with Boyhood. I mean, I see that it's dominating the season, the conversation. I have absolutely no problem with that. I think it deserves to. I think this is just a remarkable, extraordinary, once-in-a-lifetime kind of movie. And I really, you know, I can win every award from here till Oscar night, and I'd be fine with that. So, I'm quite pleased with how things turned out. You know, you get some very, you know, some very expected consensus winners, but you get some left field choices too, and I think that's how it should be.
Uh-huh.
Can I ask, since you are talking about the pros and cons of feeling like there are so many more films that you wish you could reflect as part of the collective group taste that you get with just the winner and the runner up? But the flip side of that question is that I know that there are groups, I guess the New York Film Critics being the most obvious, who have decided not to announce runners-up. And since I'm sure that's a decision that you all have come to some conversation about why you do make those runners-up clear.
Right.
Can you just say why?
Yeah, you know, that's a decision that predates my entrance into the group. So, I mean, you know, I think for a long, you know, maybe back as... I'd have to go back and look, but I think even from the 70s when the group was founded, we've always named a runner-up. And which is kind of unusual, you know, choices. Although in recent years, I know that New York critics sometimes members will leak the vote totals online, so we've gotten to see who won what. The National Society of Film Critics, you know, goes and lists the top three vote getters. You know, so everyone, you know, I like doing it. I mean, it's kind of, you know, as you know, some critics groups give do a full slate of nominees. I really like the way we do it. I think it's important to show. the diversity of choices that are there, and I think it's, you know, and kind of where some of the support is, and it's revealing too. And if you enjoy this process as I do, you know, kind of seeing the, you know, how these things work, it's kind of interesting. For example, to see that Birdman, which was very loved by the group, was like the runner up in so many categories, you know, for actor, for Michael Keaton, for screenplay. But the two most popular movies by far ultimately were Boyhood and The Grand Budapest Hotel, but Birdman was you know, the official winners don't necessarily reflect it, but it clearly was very well liked as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious how much you think, you know, since there is conversation in the room, and not just the written ballots, how much do you think the sordid topic of sort of Oscar influence comes into it at all? Because, for example, let me just say, for example, you know, I read a couple tweets from people who, not from your organization, who were talking about, it's so great to give Grand Budapest a boost in screenplay. And I said to I said, well, that doesn't need that at all, because his movies always score with Oscar for screenplay, and they don't score anywhere else. So I was wondering how much those things come up in the room, those type of conversations.
Yeah, you know, I do not think that the word Oscar was mentioned even once in today's meeting. And
inferred. How often is it inferred?
Sorry, what? Say it again.
How often is it inferred then? Like, this movie needs our support.
I think that, you know, I wouldn't say that. I think people are certainly sometimes thinking about those things. You know, every voter is obviously, you know, doing the kind of mental math and the calculations and thinking, okay, is this an Oscar choice? Is this not an Oscar choice? Does this film need the support? And, you know, everyone has to make those decisions for themselves. And, it's funny, too, because there are some times when we give it to, I'm trying to think when the last time we overlapped with Oscar was in a certain category. I'm kind of drawing a blank. I think that sometimes, I don't know, I like to think that our members totally go with what they want. Sometimes that's the consensus choice. You know, J.K. Simmons is a great example, right? J.K. Simmons is probably going to win Best Supporting Actor Oscar for Whiplash. That did not stop us at all from giving it to him for that. And, you know, you could argue, too, Patricia Arquette is probably going to win Supporting. We gave her, you know, a lead. So are we playing an Oscar game there? Yeah, but I don't think we are. I would say we aren't, you know. And Agatha Kulesha is obviously, you know, a completely off-the-map choice, who falls into a long tradition of non-American actresses winning, and actors in general winning with us. So I don't know. I can only speak for myself at the end of the day. It really does come down to personal taste. When I, you know, certainly when we're making selections, I am not looking to be a barometer of what will win the Oscars. I could not, it's not that I couldn't care less. It's just that I just want to go with what I think are the best, you know, the best choices of those available. So,
Do you talk about things like what you think Agatha Kulesha will wear to your ceremony?
We sometimes do, you know, thinking about, like, you know, sometimes people wonder if we're drafting the perfect ceremony in our heads, and I don't, you know, and, you know, there was some talk about that when Jennifer Lawrence was winning awards for American Hustle, and some people, I think, were a little cattily saying, like, oh, well, she'll be a great dinner guest, you know, and then I think in the end she didn't even turn up for the New York Film Critics dinner, if I remember correctly. But, you know, our the dinners are definitely, you know, that's, you know, those will be, you know, that one will be held a few weeks from now. And one of the great things is kind of seeing just, you know, getting all these people in a room, you know, whether, you know, some, you know, you can have, you know, Vlad Ivanov, a Romanian actor, and, you know, in the same room with Pedro Costa, you know, in the same room with Marion Cotillard. It's just, you know. I've come to one of the things, you know, what's great about the Only Film Critics is, you know, our dinner is often a kind of a magnet for, you know, for Hollywood superstars. And it's also a great way to give, you know, lesser known actors their moments, hopefully not their only moment in the spotlight. You know, I will never forget the year when we gave Best Actress to Kim Hae-ja for Mother, you know, the Korean film. and she came up and she gave just the most beautiful, you know, gracious speech. She got, got like a standing ovation or something. People were so happy for her, mm-hmm. and you know, this is, you know, and for, you know, to win, to get an award from the, you know, for us, it's just, you know, we're a bunch of, you know, cranky people in a room, just, you know, making these decisions in a very kind of sometimes disorganized and haphazard fashion. So, but I think out of that, you know, the recognition of the LA Film Critics does mean a lot, you know, as does the New York Film Critics, as does the National Society, you know, to a lot of these films and performances.
Mm-hmm. Joe, yeah. You've been really quiet. Do you have a question?
I'm just enjoying listening. I don't know. I not to bring it back all the way to the beginning, but I know when you mentioned like the proxy votes versus the in the room votes, is that something that shows up in, if you see something that like gets a lot of runner-up votes, like for instance, it seemed like Grand Budapest and Birdman were, I think each got like 3 runner-ups a piece. Is that something that we can infer was popular on the proxies and less so among the people who were in the room?
You know, I would say that, you know, sometimes you can glean that. I think speaking about this year, the differences, you know, we only had about 5 or 6 proxies and we had 47 people in the room at a time.
Wow.
So that's not really enough that I think, you know, marks a huge shift in the results, you know, and I think there were a lot of, you know, Grand Budapest fans in the room and, you know, I think, just to give you some sense, Joe, I think that in the end, Best Picture between Boyhood and Grand Budapest Hotel, can I disclose this? Am I taking my life into my hands? What the hell? I'll tell you guys. There was a 2-point difference.
Wow.
So it was really close. Really, really close. And I think there was, you know, fans for, you know, on both sides. I think a lot of people voted for both films. I voted for both films. You know, my votes for Best Picture were, you know, I voted for Boyhood, I voted for Grand Budapest, and I voted for Under the Skin. So, you know, and sometimes it's hard, and, you know, and a lot of people voted for Grand Budapest and Birdman, and Birdman and Boyhood. You know, it just became kind of this, you know, it becomes kind of this, I don't know what the word is, but it's real, you know, it's people, sometimes it forces you to make a really tough decision between two films you like almost equally well. Sometimes there are abstention votes too, you know, for people who, you know, either can't decide or don't particularly like either one, you know, so it sometimes happens as well.
Was there any kind of like the lobbying that we sort of hear among the, you know, from year to year, we sort of hear sometimes about such and such actor being argued for or against and it changing the tone in the room or something like that?
Yeah, you know, sometimes in our group, there is, our president, Stephen Farber, actually introduced this, and I think it's a great thing. He sometimes allows us to have a little discussion of each category. And after, not in so much in the first round, but after when we've whittled it down to 2 finalists in the second round, sometimes people, he'll say, you know, does anyone want to argue for or even against a particular choice? There was not a lot of that this year, you know, so it was kind of, I think everyone kind of knew what they liked, you know, and people just kind of wanted to get on with it and just vote. And so there was not a lot of discussion. And so, and in the end, it does, what I like about it is that it is a pretty mathematical process. It's a whimsical process, but it, you know, it does come down to numbers as opposed to, you know, there is an attempt to kind of quantify people's passion, I guess. And
Well, speaking of quantifying then, so in that voting system, do you ever not go to a second round? Like, how does something win without going to a second round?
Well, generally, we always do a second round.
Okay.
There was actually some talk about, you know, changing the procedures a little bit if there's a clear runaway favorite, you know, and in this case, I will say that Linklater was a runaway favorite for director, you know, more so than, say, Boyhood was for Best Picture, if that gives you some mm-hmm. sense, you know. But in the end, we still subjected it to the vote off the second round, you know. You know, groups like, I think, the New York Film Critics and the National Society of Film Critics, it is possible to win on the first, they use a very different system than us. It's a weighted ballot system, which mm-hmm. I think is even more complicated. And I think if any individual film or performance gets the most votes of anyone and appears on a majority of the ballots in the first round, they're automatically the winner. So
mm-hmm.
that's a different system than us. We still do the 2-tiered, you know, first round and then the vote off between the top two vote-getters.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes
was
sense.
Voting really spread out on, like, Best Actor to get the Tom Hardy vote, or was he, like, a huge...
The Best Actor vote was probably the most... That was one of the most surprising things. I did not expect that.
Yeah.
It was really, you know, it was very... I mean, and in such a competitive year, right? I mean, we've been hearing all over about how it's Michael Keaton and it's, you know, Steve Carell and Eddie Redmayne and you know, David Oyelowo, all of whom, by the way, factored into the voting as well. So my jaw was kind of on the floor when Tom Hardy ended up winning. Just to give you some sense, you know, Ralph Fiennes for The Grand Budapest Hotel got a lot of votes. Jake Gyllenhaal for Nightcrawler got a lot of votes. Benedict Cumberbatch got a few as well. And let me see if I can look over this. You know, Chadwick Boseman for Get On Up, John Lithgow for Love Is Strange. My personal top vote went to Oscar Isaac for A Most Violent Year. You know, this is kind of the second year after Inside Llewyn Davis and now A Most Violent Year. Oscar Isaac's given, to my mind, the best male performance in 2 years in a row. But in the end, he didn't really have enough traction to prevail, and he went to Tom Hardy. So for Locke.
So in the second round, I'm sorry to keep harping on this, but just so
Absolutely.
I understand. So is it already on the second round? Is it already down to two people then? Or
correct. So yeah.
Okay.
So we take the first round, and then we take the top. You know, we take the top two, and that was in this case Tom Hardy and Michael Keaton, and then there's a vote off between the two.
Oh, okay. So there could never be a third round in your system.
Technically, no,
okay.
Because yeah, there would not never be. It would just be the, you know, the majority winner. And sometimes, you know, it you know, we get a tie victory as well. I mean, last year we were kind of notorious for
three major ties, yeah,
which was kind of, you know, and I don't mind saying I thought it was a little ridiculous, and I wish we'd had a cleaner outcome. And so I'm very happy. This year we had one tie between Inherent Vice and Under the Skin for Music, which I thought was a really, I can totally live with that. I think they're both outstanding choices, and everything else was pretty clear cut, although it was still pretty close. There were definitely, you know, as I mentioned with Best Picture, there's sometimes a difference of only two or three votes separating, you know, the winner from the runner-up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Nick.
You've touched on so many things I really especially like about your particular critics group, that foreign language performances tend to do so well, and that you do get the sense, just as an outside observer, that a whole lot of films are in contention, even if certain ones wind up getting a few awards. One of my other favorite things is the Douglas Edwards Award for experimental and independent filmmaking, and especially since that doesn't have any Oscar corollary, I feel like those winners often drop out of the coverage of these kind of critics' votes. But can you just... tell us, are those choices really made by the full group, or is there a kind of faction of it that's supportive of that kind of filmmaking tradition and to guide the voting?
I love that we give that award too, and I should say, you know, flat out that I, you know, I do not keep up on, you know, the independent / experimental choices, as well as, you know, the avant-garde nearly as well as the people who run the subcommittee, which basically recommends a choice, you know, and I think. The National Society and other groups that give out this kind of award do too, because of course, you know, the majority of the group is not, you know, is not really covering this kind of cinema. And so, this year the Douglas Edwards Award went to the David Whiting story directed by Mr. Walter Rubin. I should know.
Yeah, that is.
You met him, not something else. And so that was a case where that option was presented to the group, and the group then votes to kind of approve or not approve the choice, and we approved it this year. You know, and there was definitely some other, you know, I think the other film this year that people, a film that people actually, you know, saw and were interested in voting for, myself included, is Goodbye to Language.
Film.
Which is opening in L.A. in January, I believe. And so that would have been a great choice too. Godard has won with us before, you know, and he's kind of, you know, you know, obviously very well known. And so I think this award sometimes is meant to honor even people who, you know, artists who are working even kind of even more under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
But now his Oscar chances might be fucked.
Exactly. Goodbye to Language. Not gonna.
No, you killed it. You killed it.
We killed
really
it.
Have a chance in song at this point.
Or Best Dog.
Best use of 3D, if only there were such a category. You know?
That might save cinematography if we had best use of 3D.
Yeah.
In terms of the career achievement, is that also like experimental film where a subcommittee chooses the person?
No, now that one we did not vote on today. Of course, we voted on that a couple months ago, and that one is definitely decided on by the whole group. We cast votes the same way we would do in any category, and so that one is definitely the whole group comes up with choices, you know. And Jenna Rollins was our winner this year. I'm not allowed to actually talk about the other ones who came up.
Right, right.
But
Well, because you
you
could
know,
always recognize them again because it's career
yeah, yes,
achievement. Yeah.
so from your mouth to Oscar's ears.
Right. It seems weird that she doesn't have an honorary.
Weird,
Right, I
very
know.
much heard for how it seemed.
I know. It's kind of funny, and it's you know she and I know it just happened to coincide. I believe she got her is getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this year. I could be wrong.
Oh,
She has
yay!
I believe so
I
because she
believe
has
that's
that
a
movie coming out next week.
She has
Six,
that movie
six.
coming out,
Yeah.
and I can honestly say, I mean, I don't know, I did not know any of this, and I don't think a lot of the members did. You know, I think it's fair to say Jenna Rollins has come up in our voting before. You know, it's not like this is the first time her name's ever been brought up. So it's kind of funny too. Our other, you know, we've given a career achievement award to John Cassavetes, so I think they're the first husband and wife team we've ever honored with career achievement in our voting history. So it's kind of a nice, it's nice, and I think that I really think people, you know, she's going to be there at our dinner, and I think people are going to be very excited about that. So, I know I am.
Yes.
Well, tell us what she and Tom Hardy talk about.
Definitely.
And who they wear. Just kidding.
For sure.
One thing I'm curious about, because like any all, you know, awards maniacs or cinephiles online are like watching the results, and you happen it this isn't always the case, but you happen to announce on the same day as, you know, everybody else essentially. So do you are you guys aware of that while it's happening? Are people checking their phones to see what's winning elsewhere?
And I think that normally we have in the past voted on the same day as Boston, but I think Boston actually went yesterday, I believe. I have no idea
No,
you know,
Boston
maybe.
and New York were and New York Online were today as
New York.
well.
Oh, they were. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Boston Online was yesterday.
Oh, Boston Online. Got it. Thank you. Yes. Good to differentiate. What did Boston go for? The Boston Society. I didn't even. I don't know
For
if I even
Boyhood
saw
as well.
Boyhood.
As well. So there's a lot of momentum coalescing around Boyhood. Yeah. I think that we generally we're not. We're so focused on what we're doing. You know, it obviously would be nice if things were spread out a little more, but this is that time of year, and it's a huge glut. And I think it's worth noting the New York film critics, you know, moved to, you know, they moved up their voting in recent years to become the first ones, you know, really put their mark. And
Right.
so you know, we still have kind of maintained the same date, like the first or second weekend in December. Definitely, yeah, I wasn't aware of, I mean, I think I saw maybe a few news alerts and things, but I wasn't really, you know, I was focusing on, you know, helping to run the meeting because I'm secretary of the group, and also writing my variety story of the, you know, and updating live. So I'm gonna be, I'm busier than a lot of people during the
Yeah.
meeting, but
So what you're
I.
doing is shooting down the myth that you all are giving out your awards in response to each other. You know, we
I
always.
well, I have to say, I mean, the Boyhood consensus, I think, is the greatest proof of that, you know. And I was really, you know, I think ever since New York started going before us, you know, there have been some talk. We have not awarded the same film as them, and I think there's been some talk of, oh, you know, LA is just trying to do something different. And I think this proves that no, in the end, you know, it's not about, you know, who honors what. It really is about the films and the films that we like best. And so I definitely think we, you know, we're just going with what we like best, and if other people happen to like it, well, great, you know. So yeah.
If I may ask another question that's not
Sure.
exactly about your group, but I'm just curious because
Yeah.
you are the first group now of the critics organizations to not go with Marion Cotillard.
Are we really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah.
And no, I just found it interesting because it's been it almost feels like a very purposeful movement because people wish her films had or her The Immigrant had been handled differently
Yeah,
on release.
absolutely.
So I'm just wondering, does she factor into the into your votes?
Marion Cotillard got a lot of votes in
Okay.
our group, believe that. And I will tell you though, they were almost most of them were for her performance in 2 days, one night, and much more so than in The Immigrant. You know, okay. And we actually have a rule where you have to vote for the performance, not the actor. So you can't vote for her for both. You have to pick. You have to specify either 2 days, one night, or The Immigrant.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm a huge fan of hers. I love her in the film. There were just so many choices. I just think she did. I don't think it was a conscious move.
Uh-huh.
I think that, you know, it's funny too. It is interesting because we, you know, the LA Film Critics gave Marion Cotillard Best Actress for, La Vie en Rose, you know, mm-hmm. Back in 2007. So, she was really, she definitely factored into the voting. I just think in the end, you know, it really came down to, Julianne Moore and Patricia Arquette.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say Marion Cotillard was not too far behind them.
Okay.
You know, she was really close. And, the other ones who did really well in that category were Rosamund Pike in Gone Girl and Scarlett Johansson in Under the Skin.
Interesting.
Just to give you some sense. Yeah.
Okay. That's super interesting to know, see, because we don't know this unless we talk to you. So, I know I have, like, I could keep asking questions all day, but so
that's
I should give other people an opportunity to ask something.
I'm good.
You are?
Okay. Yeah.
This has been fascinating, yeah. But
no, this is fun, for sure. Hopefully I don't get too much shit for, you know, too much insider talk, but, you know... It's fine. This you know, these awards are simultaneously really silly, and yet we take them seriously. And I've always enjoyed, you know, kind of letting, you know, showing the man behind the curtain, you know, how things work, kind of, you know. So it's fun.
And yet it still maintains a bit of its mystery because you know we don't ever know what brings each of those 50 some people to pick their three that they pick in every category.
Yeah.
So
it really does. Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for joining us in this peek behind the scenes. We really appreciate it, Justin.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
So that's all the time we have this week, folks. We hope you enjoyed this peek back into the Los Angeles Film Critics Association Awards. We'll be back shortly with discussions of Wild Foxcatcher and the Golden Globes.